The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 329. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very, very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This is my favorite time of year, and for longtime listeners of this podcast, they know what I mean by that phrase. But for those of you that don't know, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are starting May 2nd, just a few days away. And I absolutely love when playoff hockey starts. There's just something about it. Everything gets elevated to the next level. The scoring, the defense, the goaltending, the hits are harder. Kind of the skirmishes afterwards get a little bit nastier. I love playoff hockey, and I am so happy to be joined by my guest, Luke Landry, once again jumping on and talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we kind of already know what's going to go on in the East. The eight teams have kind of been locked in. We just still have to see where they're going to be seated. But out in the West, there's still a wild card spot open, I believe, as well as the possibility of somebody moving into the third seed for the West. So there's a few moving parts that, well, as of the recording of this episode, aren't crystal clear. But nonetheless, Luke and I are going to sit down. We're going to talk about what we know and what we're looking forward to in the matchups and who might be the team to lift Lord Stanley's Cup when the playoffs are over, which, my God, they're starting so late, I don't even know when they'll end. They might not end till 4th of July. Who knows? But that's okay, because I love playoff hockey, so if it goes a little bit longer, I'm not going to complain. Nope. All right, before Luke and I start talking some hockey, I need to thank again a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. Folks, you know I rave about the store all the time, but I really, truly mean it, that it is one world-class comic book store. They've got everything you need for your fandom. I mean, from hundreds upon hundreds of back issues to single issues to graphic novels to collections to toys, collectibles. They got a great staff. They're incredible. So you need to check them out if you're in the Central Ohio area. Just stop over to the store. 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is the street address. Or you could check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page as well. So check that out. Just search for at WG Comics. And with that little bit of business out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Luke Landry and I talk all about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost time for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that means that I'm going to be joined by Luke Landry. Luke, how are you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing real good. It's been a while. Family's all good. Everything's good up there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. We had an interesting end of season hockey-wise. My older son, who just turned 11, actually, they were able to win like the last tournament that happened before everything closed down because of COVID again, late December, and they actually won their playoffs this year as well. So that was fun. Fun little
That's good.
Adventure
That's
good. There, yeah.
Now at 11, is he at the division where they start to learn to check?
No, it's, well, in Quebec, it's a lot more complicated. Okay. Yeah, it's not just the age group. It depends at which level we play and all of that. But he was he was second year Adam.
Okay.
So in Quebec, I think only if you start playing Bantam double B is when you start to check, but it's only along the boards. And I think now they allow open ice hits only if you're like Bantam triple A or a midget triple A.
Okay.
So yeah, otherwise it's along the boards. And I was was watching a game and I'm like, well, this isn't much different than when I used to play and we weren't supposed to have body checking. And that's pretty much how we played. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's how they set it up. But, you know, after that, depends how the refs decide what goes, what doesn't go.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we're here to talk about the playoffs, speaking of checking people and whatnot. And definitely, you know, as I said in the intro to this episode, I love this time of year. This is where, to me, everything goes up a level. The scoring, the goaltending, the defense, the hitting, the scuffles, everything. So I'm really looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to this playoff season as much as I am?
Maybe a bit different because my team didn't make the playoffs. They're the furthest team away from making the playoffs. But I mean, there's some fun matchups coming up. I had a falling out over the last few years, but growing up, I was a huge Calgary Flames fan because of Jerome McGinley. And they're back real strong this year, so they're gonna have. I'm hoping they're gonna have a nice cup run. And in the East, I mean, it's just. I mean, Maple Leafs have to make it through the first round, or else I think heads are gonna roll this summer. But they're up against either. Well, right now it's looking like Tampa or Boston, which doesn't look good for them. So.
Okay, well, let's dive into it. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference here, since we're talking about Toronto. You know, pretty much we know the eight teams that are in the playoffs. There's still some jockeying as to the seeding because the Capitals are 1 point behind the Penguins, which could switch from third place to the, second wild card, I believe, or vice versa. So, and as you said, Toronto's still waiting to see who they might take on. If they, in your opinion, who would the Leafs want to play, Tampa or Boston?
If Boston plays the way they played against the Habs this week, I think they'd pick Boston. Because what I saw in that game, you know you're making the playoffs. You're not going to give it your all, and you're playing against the last place team in the league. So obviously it's not like there's really something to play for. But to me, the Boston Bruins this week, when they played, they didn't look like a team that's ready for the playoffs. Their passing was messy. Everything just seemed a little messy. And granted, you're playing against a team that's been messy all year. But I was looking at them. I'm like, ugh, this, like, for the first time in a long time, I don't feel like they're ready for the playoffs.
I agree with you. I think the Boston has looked sloppy. And is Pastrnak back yet or not? Because as of a couple games ago, he was not. Yeah.
I don't think he was playing. But, you know, the doctors worked miracles in the last few weeks before the playoffs, right?
Absolutely. Well, I think that missing Pastrnak, and then I still am not 100% sold on the goaltending for Boston. I mean, Jeremy Swayman's had a very good year, but it's the playoffs now, man. You got to step it up a level, as I've said before. I think I agree with you. I think if you're a Leafs fan, you want the Boston Bruins. You certainly do not want, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champions, the team that's poised to try to make a third run, whether they can or not, still remains to be seen. But they've been darn good the entire season. I don't know. I think that the Lightning are going to be a scary team that could sneak up on people.
Yeah, I think in both cases, you're looking at two teams that are pretty well balanced, which the Maple Leafs aren't. Maple Leafs are still, like, really strong up front. And they have this huge dip when it comes to goaltending and even defensively. I mean, they picked up Mark Giordano, but still, I mean, you're far from having an impressive blue line. And it's been like that for I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're looking at two teams that are real balanced. And, I mean, I hope that one day they figure out, and I hope that the Edmonton Oilers figure it out as well, where you can't have a team that's like, we're just going to score goals. That's just what we're going to do. It works in the season. I mean, you could ask the Capitals, the Washington Capitals. They did that for the longest time. Oh, we're going to score. Well, it works during the season, but when you're up against the same team for like seven straight games, eventually they'll find your weakness and they'll make you pay for it, even if you are able to score four or five goals per game. At a certain point, they're going to have to figure it out, and facing off against either the Lightning or Boston, it really isn't going to help them anyways. But yeah, Boston, like you said, Boston, I mean, they have a rookie goaltender. They have a bit more of an iffy blue line than Tampa, but still, I mean, it's a really well-structured team, and they play as a team, generally speaking. So,
well, let's talk about the team that's up at the top of the East, and that's the Florida Panthers.
Never thought I'd hear somebody say that. I was
like, what? Well, let's be honest. They were the winners of the trade deadline. They got Claude Giroux on top of already a stacked roster of both young and older players. I shouldn't say old players, but older players. Bravoski's played very, very well. Even at times when he hasn't played well, they've had Spencer Knight come in and play pretty solid as well. Yep. Good defense. They've got top line scoring. I'd say all three of those four lines are scoring. The question is, they're poised to win the President's Cup. Do you really want to win the President's Cup?
I mean, do you want to touch the President's Cup if you win it? Yeah.
You go back, it's been 10 years since a team has won both the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup. Everyone since then has been jinxed somewhat.
Yeah, I think it's like that sort of false confidence in the last few weeks that kills you. You've been rolling for a while now. You know you're going to make the playoffs, even if it's not official yet, or, you know, but you show up, you work hard, but you're not working playoff ready. I mean, that's why you have teams like Columbus did it a couple of years back to back, where they have to work their asses off to make the playoffs. They make it like eighth or seventh seed, and then they just run for two rounds. But they've been in playoff mode for a month now. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting at the top, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're trying to rest guys, you know, you're doing things differently, and then all of a sudden you have to be ready for it. So we'll see. And they have a lot of young guys on there too. We're having like tremendous years, like Jonathan Huberdeau. And I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, they seem to be on a mission, because they've been watching Tampa for a while. So it'll be interesting. Maybe they'll be able to avoid that jinx. I mean, you start thinking about Tampa. You start thinking about Colorado, Calgary. I mean, there's a lot of big teams this year. Seems to me, anyways.
I would agree with that. I think that there. I mean, look at the East. What, all eight teams got at least 100 points or more?
In the East, we've known the eight teams that are making the playoffs for almost a month now.
Yeah,
which you hardly ever see. It's just a question of who's going to finish where and to figure out your matchups. But that's it. I mean, there's like a 10 or 12 point difference between the eighth seed and the ninth. It's nuts. I don't remember seeing that ever.
Agreed. So, well, let's talk about the team I root for, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, again, possibly they could be matching up against the New York Rangers, which just coming from a fan's perspective, the Rangers have had our number all season long. Don't like that matchup. I also personally don't feel that the Pens are playing their best hockey in these last 7-8 games. I mean, very, very lackluster, making me feel a little uneasy, and certainly not wanting them to slip to that wild card slot, because then they would be taking on those Panthers.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's an interesting situation, because they're still trying, but that window is almost closing. I mean, you know, it's so, you know, goaltending, you don't quite know what you're going to get there. I mean, Jari, is he back? I think he was injured for a while. Was he?
He was injured. I think, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know if he played last night. I did not have access to the game last night you know what? We'll talk about it, because I was going to mention it. I don't have ESPN, and I was like, it was an ESPN game, and I'm like, I'm not paying. But then doing research today, I realized that the first five days of the playoffs, everything's on ESPN or ESPN2. So I went to Sling. Luke, I broke down. I went to Sling. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to add ESPN and ESPN2 and up my cable bill for a couple of months, and well, my Sling bill for a couple of months, and we'll go there.
Yeah, so I'm lucky. I have a choice between the French station and the English stations. So okay. the two companies bought all the NHL rights together, and then they resold it to RDS, which is like the equivalent of TSN, which is sort of like or ESPN in Canada. And the thing is, I mean, that TV station has been showing hockey games since like the early 90s. I mean, they're tight. They know what they're doing. They have you know, really good analysts and a lot of like old coaches and stuff. I mean, really solid team. The other company is just like trying to put pieces together and just seem to be hiring people who have been fired from elsewhere. And it's really not good coverage. So at least I can just like revert to the English stations and watch the games there instead. But I'm still stuck where I have to, you know, you need multiple subscriptions. So yeah. It is a pain, but still, I mean, I get away with some of it at least.
Well, I cut the cord and I got Sling and I got the what they consider the blue package, because to me, there were more channels on the blue than there was the orange package. So I already had TBS and TNT. And so today when I saw that, I'm like, you know what? Just bite the bullet. Pay an extra. It's an extra $15 a month for a couple of months. Then you have ESPN and ESPN2 and you can watch and, you know, everything will be hunky-dory. So
yeah, you got about 2.5 months there.
Yeah. So I was like, I can easily do that. And heck, if I get that discouraged because the Pens take a first round out, I might just be like, forget it. Cancel it. Damn it.
Good news for the Pens. They won't be playing the Habs in the first round. So, you know, that's already good news. Speaking of teams that every time there's a matchup, I'm like, no, it's not good. And the Habs just crush them. And you're like, why is this happening? I don't get it.
Oh, my. But that's the beauty of the playoffs, man. That's the beauty of it. What you think you know, you don't really know.
Yeah. It's like I was saying with Toronto and Edmonton. I mean, if you have a team that is well-structured in front of you, they're going to rip you apart. I mean, they might not be able to in the first two games, but once they get going, I mean, they're just going to rip you apart. They have 7 games to beat you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have teams that are just, for some reason, Minnesota. Minnesota, to me, is one of those teams that you're going to have to look out for in these playoffs because they're built that way. They all seem quiet, but they're really well-balanced. And like, man, Fleury, since he's been there, I think he's like 8-1.
Yeah, he's on a tear. Absolutely.
Tom Talbot has been playing well too. So
right, right. And I, you know, totally agree with you on that as well. But before we get to the West here, I have one more team I want to get your thoughts on. Carolina Hurricanes.
Hate them.
They've had an impressive season this season. Do they have all the pieces in place to go for a major run?
You know, with all the stories that happened this summer with them and the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, the thing is, they're a good hockey team, but I don't know if it's just like the image that they portray or if they're really like that, but they seem to be a little too arrogant, in my opinion. And that's the kind of attitude that can just kill you in the playoffs. So I don't know. I mean, they have a couple of question marks, but they've been getting some good goaltending. They have a pretty solid blue line. I think some of the questions are a bit upfront because you're talking about a team that doesn't have all that much playoff experience. Mm-hmm. And they didn't go out and get like veterans like you see a lot of teams do, you know, go and get like that one guy he's got like 200 playoff games or whatever, you know. They didn't make any moves like that. So I think it'll be interesting to see. But the good news for them is they're just starting, right? So if it's not this year, they're probably going to have another crack at it next year unless things go really bad. So at least they have that going for them. And salary-wise, I mean, their guys are pretty much locked in. So you know where you're going to be going for the next few years.
Yeah, I think the only person that's not locked in yet is Vince Trocheck. Yeah. I think he still is I think he's a UFA at the end of the year, I believe, I think. So that, but yeah, but you, I mean, again, you could swap him out with somebody else, especially if you trade him and still have a pretty solid team. I don't know. I have to be honest. I don't know much about the Hurricanes. I didn't watch too much of them. So that kind of hinders my opinion. I agree that their blue line is pretty solid. I still think that I'm not sure that Freddie Anderson is the answer in goal.
Well, I got used to him in his Toronto years, but now he actually has a defense that has a bit of potential in front of him.
Right.
So he's had an all right season, but yeah, I think for him, it'll be a chance to really show what he can do under pressure. Because mm-hmm. his reputation in Toronto was that he'll just buckle under pressure. And that's what mm-hmm. you saw a lot of times. But a lot of those times, he was just left alone. We'll just have to see. But that was one thing. I mean, I think the last time we talked, they didn't even have a goaltender signed in Carolina.
No, they did not, because they had let go on a, they had let go of Alex, and I can never say his name.
Nedeljkovic?
Yeah, Nedeljkovic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they let him go to Detroit.
Yeah. In a trade with Bernier, they didn't sign Bernier.
Correct.
And yeah, since the last time we spoke, they didn't even have a goaltender.
Right.
So it turned out pretty good for him in the end.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, you mentioned the Minnesota Wild, and I tend to agree with you. I think that they, personally for me, I think that they were the biggest winner at the trade deadline. I think that Fleury is much more impactful for that team than Giroux was for Florida. Hell of a player, you know, Claude Giroux. But I just think that I think the Panthers could have been okay without getting him. So
well, they were doing pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing great without him. So just adding him is just a little more icing to the cake, so to speak. But I think Fleury going to Minnesota, I think, is a game changer in the West. I really do. I think that they, if they face off with supposedly the St. Louis Blues, that's going to be a knockdown, drag out fight between those two teams.
And what I really like is that they seem to have a plan. You know, they went and got Fleury, and it's mm-hmm. been clear from the beginning, guys will hardly ever play two straight games. It's like mm-hmm. one each, and it's been clear. Where I find a lot of times the teams will go out and get players, and they just like swap them in and just replace them. Some of the other guys that have been playing all year, and then they're stuck on the sidelines going like, well, when am I going to get my chance? Why am I here? Why is the, so in that case, I find it really interesting. It's like, we're going to go get this guy. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to be banking on two solid goaltenders for the playoffs. So I really like what Minnesota has done. I was a little pissed the way that they handle like the Miku Koivu, like the end of his career and stuff. There's yeah. a couple of things in there where I'm like, that's not really okay, but they do seem to have a plan, so I'll give them that.
And they have a pretty solid blue line too, with Matt Dumba and mm-hmm. Spurgeon. They have a solid lineup in front of Marc-Andre Fleury or Cam Talbot, whichever. I think real quickly, I will say this: I feel like San Jose benefited from the trade from their trade of Jake Middleton for their other goaltender. What's the goaltender's name now? I can't remember his name. Kapo Kakkonen. Yeah, because he was pretty good.
Yeah, he had a couple of good seasons, yeah.
Yeah, so I think for the Sharks, I think that that's a good positive to pick up him. For Jake Middleton, who is a solid defenseman, there's another solid, very good defenseman you could put on the blue line for Minnesota, and they are a sleeper team. I agree.
Yeah, and what I kind of like is that they really seem to be going for the team mentality. I mean, there's no like superstar on there. Mm-mm. I mean, except maybe for Fleury, because he's won the cup like 20 times. But otherwise, I mean, there's no, you got a couple of names that are coming up, but I mean, you're not going to talk about Spurgeon, but no. You want him on your team.
Zuccarello.
Exactly, but you want those guys on your team. Right. So that's kind of the way they're building their team, and I really like that. Same with Middleton. I mean, you know, you look at what he's doing and you're like, yeah, I want that guy on my team, but he's not the guy who's going to sell tickets.
Right. Absolutely. As of the recording of this episode, in the West, there are still some things to shake out right now. Dallas and Vegas are battling for the last wild card.
We are taping on Wednesday night, so Dallas can clinch tonight with a win over Arizona, or if Vegas loses to Chicago. Luke, who do you like in this Vegas-Dallas scenario of who's going to take the last wild card?
Just for drama, I'm hoping for Dallas.
Okay.
Because whatever's going to go down in Vegas afterwards is really going to be interesting.
What do you mean by that? What do you think? Well, what do you think might be going down? Do you think there's going to be some heads at roll?
Well, they basically have no future as we speak. I mean, they spent all their draft picks. And even like, I mean, look at what they did with Fleury. You know, I mean, he was pretty much the face of the franchise, and it really like a shitty ending to that. The year ended really badly with Robin Lehner. You know, I mean, they traded Alex Tuch for Eichel, which they really didn't need to do. They probably should have kept Tuch personally, but you know, I mean, there's a lot of like just sending players, trading players that you're just not keeping your core, and the guys that you did keep have like a long history of injury. So, and top that off, like the first, they had what, three? Yeah, they had three draft picks when they came into the league, first round draft picks. They've traded them all of them away. Mm-hmm. Nick Suzuki's in Montreal. What's his name? Brandstrom is in Ottawa, and yes. Glass is in Nashville, mm-hmm. I think. So, I mean, you just keep on clearing your house, and you don't have anything coming up. So I don't know. And they have to make room this summer because they can't keep all their guys. They're in there for long-term contracts, and they don't have any, they won't have any cap space for that. So
how does a team end up this way? That always puzzles me that you had a wonderful few years, you know, since you've come into the league, and now you're a complete dumpster fire. How does this happen? There's got to be mismanagement at the top levels, and there's got to be some change up there, don't you think?
Like Minnesota, they have a plan. Did Vegas really have a plan? You know, true. I mean, that first year was a surprise because you had mm-hmm. a lot of guys that were kind of like plumbers. You know, they worked hard, but they were more or less known except for Fleury. And then they were able to get a couple of decent players in there to help out. And they had a great run, went all the way to the finals. And I mean, to their credit, they've kept it rolling for a couple of years. But I mean, you're trading away stuff that you don't, it's not like you had too many of them. I mean, for a while, Pittsburgh was trading away first round picks and stuff, but they had their AHL team was just full of players, so that wasn't an issue. You could trade a couple of guys away because you know that you got some more coming up. And in Vegas's case, that's not what's going to happen here. They've pretty much emptied everything out. So we'll have to see. And again, I mean, they're not the way that they've treated certain players. They're not having really the best reputation right now as well. So I think it'll be interesting to see because they really went all in to try to get Jack Eichel, thinking that everything would fall into place and they could probably pull off what Tampa pulled off last year for the playoffs and just have 120 million cap just roll in there with Eichel and Pacioretty and Stone. And they're going to have to really have a solid plan, and they're going to have to make a lot of room this summer.
Does Dallas make it, even with some of the drama that's going on within the team as well? Klingberg has been very vocal about not being happy in Dallas. Does that become a distraction? Or is Dallas able to focus on the task at hand and get into the playoffs and maybe move out of the first round and maybe go for a run?
I think they could because they seem to refocus. Because I remember a couple of weeks before the trade deadline, I was like, oh, they're going to sell. They're going to get rid of players. And all of a sudden, they started to win. It's like, oh, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And they ended up being pretty neutral at the trade deadline. So, I mean, it's a sign of like, oh, we're confident with what we have to a certain extent, but we don't want to overspend because, like you mentioned, I mean, we are having certain issues. So I think that, you know, they've had a pretty decent run in the last few weeks, which gives them a better chance than Vegas, which started off strong and it's just been like nosediving since. So I mean, it's a close one. And again, last night, Dallas could have closed it. If they won that game, regular, no overtime, no nothing, it was over. They just they got rid of Vegas and they couldn't close it. So we'll see. But I mean, I think it's one of those teams that they've clawed their way up, and once you're in the playoffs, you never know. But compared to the East, where to me, it seems like everything's up in the air. Anybody could just make it out of the East. I'm not too convinced in the West as much.
Speaking of the wild card, Nashville clinched, in fact, I believe last night, a spot in the wild card. Thoughts on the Preds, if they have, you know, the personnel to go for, on a run as well?
Maybe. You know, if Matt Duchene really has good playoffs, because he hasn't, I don't think he has that much playoff experience. I mean, they're banking on the top defenseman in the league. So that's a plus. It's one of those teams that's sort of like rebuilding, but quietly. You know, they got rid of a couple of big names that were getting older, and I think they might be able to surprise. But that's another team that, okay, fine, you might make it a couple of rounds, but I don't see you making it out. I mean, if you end up facing Colorado or Calgary or even St. Louis in the next round or something like that, I mean, it's going to be really hard for those teams.
I think Philip Forsberg is going to be the key to Nashville's success in the playoffs. I think if he catches fire and like can score at will, like he, you know, a few years ago was, I think that bodes well for Nashville. But if he doesn't turn it on, I think first round and they're out.
Yeah. I was talking about having really a balance throughout your lineup. And if the player, like you said, if Forsberg does show up, then you do have a chance of having that. But otherwise, I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of like Minnesota in a way where you don't seem to know all the players, but in Minnesota, it works. Nashville, it's pretty iffy.
Well, we do know for a fact that there is going to be one series. It's locked in. It's Edmonton taking on Los Angeles. First of all, what are your thoughts about LA?
I think like a lot of people, I'm surprised.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, they were really far down the list last year, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Like most California teams, actually. But I don't know, man. I mean, when you get a guy like Philippe Danault in your lineup, that just takes away a lot of defensive responsibility from, what's his name?
Anze Kopitar.
Kopitar, thanks, yeah. Which, you know, is a terrific defensive forward as well. But you want Kopitar to really be filling up the net, right? You want that guy on the offense. So having a guy come in like Danault that relieves all of that pressure from Kopitar, it just helps. And they have a strange mix. It's like really, I don't want to say old because I'm getting there as well, but they have like really old players and like really young players and like not that much in between. So I think it's a really interesting mix.
And I think it's a mix. I've watched a few Kings games out of curiosity. I was like, I got to see what are they doing that's making them much more successful than they've been in the last few years. They're a very fast team. They play with a lot of speed. And I think that if you get trapped in that track meet mentality, so to speak, I think it spells disaster for your team. If I was coaching against the Kings, I think you have to play a very physical game against them. If you let them skate, they're just going to skate circles around you. And, you know, and I agree with you. They have Dustin Brown. They have Jonathan Quick, Drew Doherty, you know, who are on the tail end of their career, but yet they have, you know, all these other younger kids coming up that certainly are playing well. Byfield, for an example, and Peterson in goal. So I think the Kings are going to be good to go over the next couple of years. I don't know if they get past Edmonton, though. I think that they are certainly going to maybe win a game or two. I don't think, though, they beat Edmonton.
Yeah, you're reminding me. I wanted to go check out some of the headlines in Edmonton just to see, because you have a team there that, I mean, some of their players are going to be on a mission, right? I mean, yeah. They want to show that they, just like the Maple Leafs, they can make it past the first round. Well, first off, they were able to make it to the playoffs because at a certain point this season it wasn't looking good. But, I mean, they have to be able to start winning playoff rounds. They just have to. or else, I mean, Draisaitl is going to want to go somewhere else. McDavid's going to want Darnell Nurse, you know, and Mike Smith, who's been just awesome in the last few weeks. He's like 42 years old or something like that. So again, I mean, if he's in top shape and they head into the playoffs that way, they might have a chance. But otherwise, I mean, it's still the same team. You still have a huge hole when it comes to like your third and fourth line, like your third defensive unit as well. So it's they're getting there, but I think they still have a lot of work to do.
Did they sign Brett Kulak at the trade deadline?
For him.
They traded for him. Okay. I thought that I heard that he went to Edmonton.
Yeah, they traded him. And the guy that was in the trade that came to Montreal, they're playing him tonight and again. And I'm like, oh, you've seen enough of that guy. You don't, you know, he's not going to make your lineup next year. It's just horrendous. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting move for them because they do get I like Brett Kulak a lot. I thought he was – they got that guy from Calgary. And I don't know if – sometimes when you've been in a team for too long, they just figure like, oh, this guy, I can put him on a lineup and back in and out and in. But I never understood for the last like year and a half why they'd take him out. He's I mean, he doesn't make many mistakes. He moves the puck pretty decently. I don't know if they were hoping that he'd give more offense, but I mean, it's just like he and he's just like consistent as well. It's the kind of stuff that you want from a defenseman. So I never understood why you just ended up on that swivel, like sixth or seventh defenseman. I'm like, yeah, he's not going to be your top guy, obviously, but he's an interesting guy to have around and he skates pretty well too. So you're like, I never understood that. And I figured now that he's been traded to Edmonton, that might actually be a very good spot for him because you know you're talking about LA being a quick team. Edmonton's the same thing. They have, they really have to score, like really when they're driving into the zone. That's when they really get strong. And Kulak's the kind of guy that can help that. I mean, he'll just show up and help help with the offense that way. Not the kind of defenseman that will end up with like 50, 60 points, but I mean, just one of those guys, again, consistency. So I think that was a really good pickup, as much as Toffoli was for Calgary.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Which didn't, I mean, honestly, doesn't need any more goal scoring. They potentially have like three, they have three 40 goal scorers, and they have Mangiapane, who's like five away from scoring 40. So, I mean, Toffoli is just like a luxury for him, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Again, Toffoli, just player consistency in what he brings. So those are the kind of moves that I really liked at the deadline. But yeah, I'm still, I mean, Kulak, Lekkonen, who's in Colorado now. Some people saying that Colorado gave up a lot. I mean, honestly, I disagree. Lekkonen's the same thing. He's just a driving force. It's the kind of guy that, you know, if he had just like 10% more talent, would be in the top players of the league. He's just like, every night he's on a mission. Every night you know what you're going to get from him. The problem is it just doesn't click enough. You'll have a couple of two-goal nights, and then he won't be on the score sheet for like 10, 12 games, and then he'll show up again. But he's still giving you that same hockey every night.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVDcast and also one great comic book shop. They've got single issues, graphic novels, they've got collections, they've got collectibles, they've got toys, they've got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, a clean store, friendly staff. They got it all, man. So definitely check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And if you're in Central Ohio, there's nothing better than stopping by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you do interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest from yours truly right here on the PVDcast. Well, let's talk about the Avs. You know, I personally feel that if I'm picking a Stanley Cup winner, Luke, I'm picking the Avs as much as, you know, I know, and you can empathize too, being a fan of another team, but I got to give respect to the Avs. I think that they have shown what they can do. If the goaltending can just hold out, because I'm not so sure that Kemper and is it Franzko is their other one, or Franz? I don't know how to pronounce it. I forget.
I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah. Havel, whatever. You know what I mean? If they can hold up and make it through the playoffs, I think we're looking at the Colorado Avalanche lifting Lord Stanley's cup again.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely have the driving force. And I mean, Kadri's having a great year, which is to them is just secondary scoring.
Yep.
So if that keeps going, their blue line should be pretty healthy when the playoffs start. Because that was like one of the issues they had this year, trying to have a healthy blue line. And a lot of guys like Gerard and stuff got injured quite a bit this year. So they had issues there. But I mean, they just, if they're on, they're on. And the question is, can they keep it going for four rounds?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing.
Yeah, this could be the for lack of a better term, coming out party from Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, we've heard for years how great he is, and we've seen how great he is. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't maybe made it over that hump to get to being an elite player. I think that's going to be a little bit of motivation, too. And I can see Colorado doing a lot of damage in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's one of those years where, well, in the West, the race was a bit more interesting than in the East. But it's one of those years where so many players are like almost on a do or die situation. Right. You're talking about MacKinnon, Landeskog, same thing. Calgary, you're talking about Tkachuk, Gaudreau. At Toronto, you got Marner, Matthews. I mean, these are all guys that have showed that they can pull it off in a regular season, but now you have to do it in the playoffs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Show me that you're also a playoff guy and that you can go all the way. I don't remember the last time I've seen so many teams where the players are really like, this is it, man. You're having an awesome year, but come next week, that doesn't count anymore. It's like, you have to drive through the whole thing. And can you do it? Who's going to be able to do it? And I really don't remember the last time I saw so many players really in that position where it's like, it just seems like it's now or it's never. To me, that's going to be the exciting part this year.
Do you think that now or never type of attitude is because, teams now are so much more cognizant of, the bottom line, with all the different contracts that are out there and balancing the books and making sure that they still have money. They're not pushed up against the cap and whatnot. Do you think that plays a big role in some of these folks having that idea that, man, we got to win. We have to win. This is it. This is the year.
Definitely. I mean, COVID didn't help with the salary cap as well. So, you're stuck there. We're talking about the Leafs and how they're really strong with their forwards. Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Tavares. I mean, it's just they're chock full up there, but because they're spending like 40 something million on those four or five players, they don't have enough money for the rest. So even for the Leafs, they were talking about like a couple of years ago where it was do or die before they had to start paying Matthews and Marner the big bucks. So obviously you end up stuck with that. I just wish they changed the whole salary cap thing. I mean, keep the cap, keep a ceiling, keep a floor, but, let teams either go underneath or over and just like penalize them depending on, the amount or whatever. But at least, have teams be able to keep their core and keep the good players in and the guys that sell tickets and that are actually entertaining to watch. And because, I get players. I mean, you can either decide to kind of do like Stamkos did and get a pay cut and then, figure like, we got a decent team and we're just going to get better. But at the end of the day, you're also allowed to get your payout too. So I don't think the system works to help you really get a franchise going. Well, not a franchise, but a dynasty going like we've seen in the past. So
I read an article that was talking about why it's very hard to three-peat. And one of the things that they mentioned was, especially with the LA Kings, was, you know, they won their two cups. You know, they made it to a Western final. I forget the years. 2014, I think it was. 2014 is when they won their cup, I believe, the first one. But nonetheless, they were talking about how just physically and emotionally and mentally draining it is that they just ran out of steam in 2016 and just didn't make the playoffs because not of any excuse. And it sounds like an excuse, but it's just, it's fact. It just wears you down. So I oftentimes wonder if, you know, you mentioned, you know, the salary cap prevents a dynasty. I think also what prevents a dynasty is this, you know, it's a different game. And it wears on you maybe more so than it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And maybe that's why we don't get these dynasties like the Islanders or like the Canadians or like, you know, any of these other teams that have won multiple cups over multiple years.
The Stanley Cup has a reputation of being the hardest cup to win. You know, it's a physical sport. You're going up. You have to win. It doesn't seem like much. You have to win 16 games, but you're going through round after round after round that might end up going up to 7 games. And and even just in the playoffs, I mean, when they were in the bubble, Dallas went all the way. But by the time they made it to the finals, I mean, they were out of gas. Same with the Habs last year. I mean, I don't think they really had a chance of winning the cup. But I mean, by the time they got there, it was over. I mean, the tank was empty. So there's definitely part of that. But I've always figured, like, if you're able to keep a lot of your players and have stronger third and fourth lines, it should help your top guys, like, not take a night off, but, you know, if they're in a slump or whatever, it's not going to be as much pressure, and then you can maybe cut down some of their minutes and just manage the team a bit better. But yeah, I mean, 82 games plus all the stuff that you have to do in playoffs on it. Yeah. It doesn't help. Doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. And you're talking about, you know, trying to keep the key parts together, and being a Penguins fan, you know, this year's going to be a big year in the offseason. There's a lot of unrestricted free agents. The scuttlebutt was Malkin's going to take a pay cut and stay and finish out his career. But yet that's not been written in stone. Letang wants a boost in income, boost in his pay. You got to sign Brian Rust. Casey DeSmith is unrestricted. It's a lot of moving parts. And I know the Pens aren't the only ones in that same situation. I mean, there's many teams in the NHL that are going to have a rough summer. So I don't know. Maybe they could bump up the cap a little bit. Would that help, in your opinion?
Well, they're always going depending on how much money they make. And I think they're just... I think they're giving it like an extra million or a million and a half or something like that, which is really isn't that much.
No.
Because, you know, you have to pay the Coyotes because they're not going to be bringing any money next year. Not that they are right now, but I have to send you that. I saw the picture of the, let's call it a skating rink where they're going to be playing next year with the ticket price. And I'll send it to you afterwards, man.
Okay. But
it's like a couple of weeks ago, I was at a Jack White concert in Laval it's just north of Montreal. And that's where their AHL team plays. And that's a 10,000 seater. And it's almost full every time the Rocket play there. So you have AHL teams there that have more people going to their games than the maximum the Coyotes can have for the next few seasons.
I could go off on an hour long rant about the Coyotes. I don't understand. Why have we kept that franchise in Arizona when it's crystal clear that Arizona really doesn't want it? Like, and you have your team in the desert. Batman, you have the Knights. You have the Golden Knights in the desert. It works. That you could check off your bucket list, dude. Now, take the stupid Coyotes and put them somewhere where they're going to be actually good and make some money and not have to...
Yeah, we followed it on our podcast quite a bit because it's like, oh, okay, well, they've just been kicked out. Oh, no, they're not just kicked out. They haven't paid some money. Oh, it turns out was some whatever mistake. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll try to believe that. And then, but they're going to be moving to Tempe. Okay, fine. But the lot that they want to have hasn't been approved yet. Oh, okay. The plans for the new rink and everything hasn't been approved yet. Okay, well, you're getting kicked out of your building this year, and you're still wishing that you can end up in Tempe where nothing's been approved. It's still just like a project, and then you end up sharing. And this is to me this like, it was Johnny Knoxville to say it puts the dick in ridiculous, where you end up sharing a rink with an NCAA team. And they're the king of their domain, right? Not the NHL team. You're going to have to bend your schedule around the NCAA team. And then there are certain things that you're accustomed to do that you can't do because it's not permitted within the NCAA rules. And that's why they have to build like a separate facility to train. And I mean, I'm reading this. I'm like, is this serious? This is supposed to be the top hockey league in the world, and this is happening. I mean, if this happened in football or baseball, I mean, what chance would that franchise have? They'd be out midseason. I mean, it's like nobody would tolerate this. Why are we tolerating this? A team that's been owned by the NHL for a while. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
I am 100% in agreement with you. I just, you know what? I'll just table it there. I could just continue on and rant and rave.
This is a whole series on its own.
Yeah, that's a whole other. The funny part, though, is during the trade deadline, you're like, Chikrin's going to leave, right?
Yeah.
They didn't move him. He didn't leave. I'm like, what?
Dude. No, and they apparently they had a trade down to send Shea Weber's contract over there, because they're just looking for contracts to be able to make the cap floor. And the NHL said, no, that's just too much heat. It's too much heat coming from Montreal. Everybody's going to hear about it. Sending over that player, that's pretty much clear that he's retired. He's just going to wind out the last few years of his contract. And so the NHL said no. But they went and got Brian Little's contract instead from Winnipeg, which made a lot less heat. So they're even controlling what the team can do. And again, every time I look at it, it's like, if that happened in the NBA, what would happen? Right? I mean, it's just like, you're supposed to be the top league. Why is this shit happening over and over and over and over again? And you know that there's some teams that are struggling more than others, be it the NHL, the NFL, or the MLB or whatever. It happens. And you're trying in different markets. It happens. But at a certain point, it's just like, it's not going to work there. You've moved the team so many times within the state. You're trying to do it again. And even now, the city's looking at it and going like, yeah, I'm not sure about this. We're going to put this on hold. We're going to try to wait it out. We're going to try to, I mean, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. So,
yeah, Bettman, it's called the Atlanta Thrashers. that's exactly it. After what, 4 or 5 years, the town was like, yeah, we don't care. We don't want this team here.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
at a certain point, you have to face it. Some places you're just not going to have a hockey market, period. Yeah,
absolutely.
And at the same time, you're ignoring places like maybe Houston, you're ignoring places like Hamilton that's near Toronto, you're ignoring places like Quebec City, you're ignoring, I mean, yeah, smaller markets, but I mean, if you have 18,000 seats, they're going to be full every night, even if the team's shitty, they're going to be full. So what are you waiting for?
Oh man. Well, you know what? Let's get back on track and talk about the Stanley Cup here. I gave you my thoughts. I think that the Colorado Avalanche might be the winners this year. Luke, who do you think is going to lift Lord Stanley's Cup?
Like I mentioned, for the late 90s, early 2000s, I was a Calgary Flames fan, and I really like the work they've done this year. Because, I mean, last year they didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
And then right now they're like second or third in the West. So I like their chances. They have a lot of energy. Like I mentioned earlier, they have a couple of players that, you know, they're in that do or die situation. So I'm going Calgary Flames. I think the if we can get a Colorado Calgary final in the West, it's probably going to be better than any other team that's going to end up in the Cup Finals. Honestly,
that would be a rugged and exciting and thrilling, and I have many more adjectives I could use, but that would be one hell of a closing series in the West.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was looking at the standings the other day, and I'm like, this could happen, and it'd probably be better than the Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even a lot of times, the first round is the most entertaining round. That's where you really have the upsets. That's where you have some of the best games, some of the best series, year in, year out. And once the playoffs start going a bit further, you're like, you know, it's okay. It's interesting, but it's not like what's going to happen next type of hockey. Mm-hmm. But yeah, an Avs Flames final, man, that would just be awesome.
All right. Well, as we're getting up to our time limit here, let's talk about your podcast. All right. I get to try it again. All right, I get to try it again. I know last time that we talked, I was like, I was going to be able to say the title in French and do a pretty darn good job. So let me try it again. Le Troisième Mon Père.
That's pretty good.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, well, I mean, right enough that French people are going to understand you. So that's
okay. Yes. All right. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, you have a couple of syllables in there that are nothing close to anything in English, so that's always a challenge when you but it's pretty good. Thanks.
So you know what, tell the folks what it's all about, by the way.
it's a podcast on it's about hockey. We do talk mostly about the Montreal Canadiens, but I mean, this year was just depressing, so we talked about a lot of other stuff, but it's fun. I mean, when things go bad, I find it's really interesting because I get to talk to somebody who's pretty much living the same thing that I am. So it's just a lot of venting when things go bad. And we try, because it's biweekly, we try to like go back on certain stories that the media talks a lot about, and then it just like dissipates, but you still see some of the impacts that that event had. Or so it's interesting to just like have a wider retrospect on the whole thing. But again, I mean, this year was just like venting. It was just, and at a certain point, I mean, you're doing an episode every 2 weeks, and like, have we done this episode already? it was just that kind of year, you know. And we went off like we started last year, which ended up being like the best year to start it with the Canadians making it all the way to the finals. I mean, every year, every week was like, wow, what's going on? Wow, what's this? Wow, we never expected that. Wow, Price. Wow, this. And then this year, it's like, there's nothing to say. It's depressing from the beginning to the end. So yeah.
Was it so bad you thought about just covering the Montreal Alouettes?
Well, we started looking at the Rockets a bit. Cause I mean, we saw the Rocket play, like that late January, February stretch where they had the bye week and everything. Mm-hmm. But right before they had the bye week, they actually put a team on the ice. It was either against Florida or Carolina. They had 17 players dressed. Yeah. Because of injury, because of COVID, they had 17. It was like the end of the road trip. They dressed 17 players. And I think like 8 out of those players were farm team players. That's the kind of year that they've had. Wow. When people are looking like, wow, it's really been awful. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's not just Carey Price and Shea Weber. I mean, it's just like horrendous injury season. And the thing is, like that game and I think the previous game, their team wasn't the team that they put on the ice wasn't even eligible to play a preseason game. You need to dress like 8 or 9 veterans for your preseason games. They didn't even have enough players that fit the definition of veteran for the NHL. That's wow. The type of year.
Wow. Had.
So
I've never heard of a team having to do that.
Yeah. And then you learn that there's a limit during the preseason because they're still selling tickets. So they want you to put a decent product on the ice. So you need to have it.
Yeah.
At least this amount of players that have played, I forgot what the number of games is, but so I didn't even know about that. And you learn about it because the team that's showing up tonight doesn't even clear a preseason lineup. So, yeah.
It's going to get better, right? It's got to.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guys that are in charge now, I mean, Jeff Gordon for one of them, I mean, the Rangers that you're seeing right now, he built them. Mm-hmm. All right, the Boston Bruins that were winning cup after cup a few years ago, he was part of that team too. So, I mean, there's that upside where you see this guy, he's built teams. And if it weren't for the whole Tom Wilson and Panarin thing a couple of years ago, he'd probably still be in New York. Mm-hmm. So they fired him because they all went like, the league shouldn't allow this. And like management really didn't like him speaking out. And that's why they fired him. So at least there's that. But I mean, they have a lot of work to do. I mean, you're looking at the last place team that's like first or second when it comes to the salary cap. So that's not a good news right there.
Oh.
And I mean, there's a couple of interesting players coming up, but nothing huge. Development and drafting has been a huge problem in Montreal. So they're going to have to fix that as well. There's a lot of work. But I mean, from a fan point of view, if you're at least able to present a team that's interesting to watch, I'm going to go along for the next few years knowing that it's going to be hard, but at least if they're fun to watch, then, you know, I'm in.
Gotcha. So tell folks where they can find your podcast.
We're pretty much everywhere in Spotify, okay. Apple, I forgot. I mean, yeah, my co-host takes care of the marketing and all that stuff. Like, I'll take care of the sound, the editing and all of that stuff. And you take care of that. But, yeah, no, it's been interesting. It's been fun. And again, you get to analyze things a bit more than you would if you were just watching the games. So it's, yeah, we have fun doing it. Yeah.
Cool. That's the bottom line, is as long as you enjoy doing it, man. That's
exactly.
All that counts.
Yeah. 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 No, exactly. No. And it's been a bit harder this year trying to find time to record the whole thing. And, well, you know about that. I mean,
yes.
Guest every podcast. I mean, it's, and look at you. I mean, you're over 300 episodes in.
I know, man. And, you know, just continuing moving onwards and upwards, as they say. So.
I have to say, props on the Darren McCarty episode.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That guy should have a podcast on his own. I mean, it's just like the stories that I could tell. And
well, I think he does have his own podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he does. I don't remember what it's called.
Check that out.
Yeah, but yeah, Darren's good people. I'll get a chance maybe in September to run into him again. He's going to be at that same comic book convention. So maybe I'll get some more juicy stories from him.
That's cool. I really like the part where you guys were talking about, you know, how enforcers were just like tossed away from the league. And it was just like a league decision and we're just going to move them out of the way. And that's it. I mean, I thought it was interesting to see a guy who was half enforcer, I guess. I mean, he was more of a power forward than an enforcer, but, you know, he'd get his nose dirty and all of that. And to see a guy like that's perspective on how everything changed and changed so quickly.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. All right. With that, Luke, we're going to wrap things up here. I want to thank you again, man, for coming on. It was fun.
My pleasure, man. It's always nice. Yeah.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Luke Landry and I talking about the 2022 NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And one thing you can count on for sure is that certainly it's going to be interesting when you have all these teams vying for Lord Stanley's Cup. I can't wait for it to kick off this weekend. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see if our predictions are going to hold true. But
I would like to thank Luke once again for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it. Check out his podcast. And with that, I probably should let you know where you can get in touch with me if you would like to contact me about what I said, you know, about your favorite team on this episode. Well, you can shoot me an email if you like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And please let folks know where they can hear the PVDcast, such as maybe going to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those podcasting platforms and apps. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And most importantly, it doesn't matter if you're talking about my podcast, Luke's podcast, or your favorite podcast. Make sure you're rating and reviewing because it helps us all out. I mean, these companies that host our podcasts, they want to see the numbers. And by rating and reviewing, it helps everyone out, yours truly included, in that particular process. So you don't have to write a giant book in your review. You can just put down, good job, John. Give me as many stars as you think I deserve. And, you know, make sure that you also subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. So once again, that's rate, review, and subscribe. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing that. And also, let me tell you about the Facebook broadcast of every week's episode of the PVDcast. You can hear it right on Facebook. Just go to @PVDcast every Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can check out the week's episode. And if you have comments or questions, you can ask me because I monitor the feed and I'm always willing to jump on and chat with folks. It's a great deal of fun, so you should definitely check it out. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you all for checking out the episode one more time. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.